right, we are going to have Shirley come up, and she is going to lead a Bible study.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, every time we sing that song, it seems like, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I just remember, oh my, you just, how it was, you know, those wonderful Sunday nights there in my home church when I was a young girl. And you know, we always had the altar call after the preaching, and wow, that was my time, because oh yes, we would gather there at the front of the church and we would pray, and you know, it would just seem the presence of the Lord was so close, and oh, praise the Lord, we could feel his touch, we could feel his presence, and you know, you get into that place and you don't want to leave. It gave strength for the events ahead, the week ahead, the school week, or whatever all was pending. And just thank God, you know, it's just so wonderful to be in his presence, to have that special touch from the Lord. You know, and I could help but think how John on the Isle of Patmos was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And oh my, you know, as he received that vision there, the book of Revelation to us, how it must have been, you know, it absorbed him. And, you know, everything else that must have been very difficult on that island, you know, I believe it was forgotten because he was in the presence of the Lord and the Lord was showing him tremendous things. And, oh, my, you know, everything else, I'm sure, left its focus. And thank the Lord, you know, there's something so wonderful about being in God's presence. That touch from the Lord when you just know, you can feel his presence, you can feel his reality, you just know he's right there. And praise the Lord, that's strength. Oh yes, to help us to fight the battles. Oh yes, to draw closer to the Lord. Amen, and so happy for those moments. We need that strength from the Lord. I hope when you all get here, you that are coming, I pray that we'll have those kind of moments where we can just feast on the Lord and, you know, that our minds just look on Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, because it is so true. The things of this world just dim out. And, you know, you forget all the funny things and all the strange things and all the confusion. And, you know, you're in a better place. You're in that realm with the Lord and everything else fades out. And thank God for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask the Lord to have his way. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. We're so thankful that we can have those moments with you, Lord. We're so thankful that we have your word, Lord, that we can feast on it, Lord. And oh, God, how it talks to our hearts and how it gives us strength. Oh God, how it tells us how to behave. Oh God, how to be saved, oh Lord. Oh God, how to walk with you, Lord. And we thank you, God. It's a treasure that we have. We are so blessed. And I pray, oh Lord, that you talk to us tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd minister to us. Oh God, I know we're on this road, oh, that leads to everlasting life. Oh God, it is a straight and it is a narrow way. And we don't want to get off the road, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you would help us to realize here we are in these very perilous times. We feel that thy coming is even at the door, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to keep our focus right. Oh God, please help us to keep our eyes upon thee, Lord Jesus. And oh God, let your word register in our hearts. Oh God, that we would have the strength that we need, the faith that we need, oh Lord, the Holy Ghost that we need, oh Lord, to make it through this world. And I pray that you'd minister here tonight, that you'd use me in the name of Jesus. Oh God, please take your word and use it. Oh God, put it in thy order. Oh God, we just ask thee for thy strength. Oh God, for thy goodness, Lord, that, oh Lord, your presence would be felt, Your word would be here, Lord. Oh God, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you. You know every burden. You know every need. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh God, oh, to get our minds on thee, Lord. I pray that the things of this world would fade out, Lord, as we focus on your word and the good things of God. Oh, thank you, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about deception here tonight. I'm going to call the message, Be Not Deceived. And, you know, it's quite a description of this time because when you look at everything around us and all the people around us, you can't help but notice there is great deception in this world. And the thing, I know Pastor David used to say this, that is, if you're deceived, you don't know it. I know I had a conversation with my daughter Ruth on the telephone for a little while today in the morning, and she was just telling me that her daughter, Serena, and we've been praying for her, and thank God she's been in school the last 3 days. And Ruth was, actually, she called me as she was driving back from the school, which is a little bit of a distance from her house. But anyway, she was telling me that the girl there in her class, Serena's class, that she thought was her best friend, she found out recently that this girl thinks she's a lesbian. And Serena was just really shocked, you know, and confronted her and oh, you know, said she wanted to help her. But this little girl says, well, it must be okay because I believe in God. And, you know, this just really struck me because I think that's common thinking out here in this world today. You know, people, they may be engaged in all kinds of occult activities. They may be in witchcraft. Oh, they may be doing all kinds of things that are in discord with God's word and strictly forbidden. But yet, you know, because, you know, they think, oh my, well, I believe in God, you know. Maybe they gave their heart to the Lord at one point and, you know, never grew from that moment. But, you know, there's so much deception out there. And so many people are in some kind of thinking, some kind of religion, some kind of organization, oh my, that makes them think that there's another way, or, you know, that they don't need God's word, and, you know, there's so many distractions and everything else beside in this world. But oh my, thank God for his word. Thank God that we can turn to it. And oh yes, the word of God, it's full of words of life, praise the Lord. Words that will lead us to eternal life, and praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing, it's a wonderful gift. You know, there's so many people that, you know, just think maybe because, you know, they were, maybe had Christian parents, or maybe even their grandparents, or, you know, maybe because they have a Bible, or, you know, maybe because they go to church a couple times a year, you know, that's good enough. And very many of them, I'm sure, don't open up the Word of God. They don't feast on it. They don't read it. And, you know, it could easily be like the time when Josiah was king. And all at once, the word of God was discovered. It had been hidden. It had been hidden, and all at once, so my, it was found. And oh my, how it caused Josiah to fall on his knees and to rend his garments. Oh, when he realized, hey, you know, this is what God's word says, and we haven't been living it. We haven't been doing it. Oh my, what a moment that was. But how is it for the people of this time if they neglected God's word? Or maybe they're reading some translation that, you know, is certainly not God's word. And yet thinking that they're okay, I'm okay, because I believe in God. But oh my, we need to give heed to these words of life. We need to listen. We don't want to be deceived. And there are so many warnings in God's word. This is a time of great deception. I feel, oh yes, like never before. Oh yes, there's always been deception in this world, but oh my, it's a very keen description of these end times as everything gets more and more confused in this world that we live in this very day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look in God's word as we begin here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to start with Jeremiah 17, and this is a verse we all know, I think, but this is man's tendency, and I want to make this point here as I begin. This is man's tendency. It tells us here in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And oh, what a pondering question. Oh yes, I remember reading Brother Coote's biography years ago, and he was just a businessman in Japan. And he was living with some missionaries, and you know, I'm sure he had, you know, somewhat of a, you know, a Presbyterian or something like that background. He was actually an English man, and God had allowed him to go to Japan as a young man. And anyway, here he was in Japan, and it just dawned on him that he didn't think God's word was needed to guide and direct his life. But it came to him at one point that he never read it. And he decided, well, I better read it. Otherwise, how can I make a judgment? And he began with Genesis, and he was reading all the way through. And finally, he got to Jeremiah. He got to Jeremiah chapter 17 in this very verse that I just read, and all at once it struck him. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Oh my, what a thought. And it's true. We don't know the wretchedness of our hearts until we begin, oh yes, to ask God to search us and see our heart, and see if there be any ungodly thing within us, any devilish thing. Oh, it's such a need. Oh, yes, to turn it over to the Lord, because, yes, verse 10 in this chapter says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Oh, what thoughts here. Oh, yes, and it's so true because, yes, God is seeing us and he knows us very well. And yes, he does search our hearts. And yes, he does try our reins, our emotions. Oh, yes, and he is going to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Oh, yes, it makes it so imperative that we get right with God. Oh, yes, that we consider the words of life that are in this book and give heed and listen. And, oh, yes, obey what is written on its pages. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's an interesting passage in Isaiah chapter 30 that I'd like to go to now. And praise the Lord, here it is, rather in the first part of this chapter, verse 8, it writes, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. And oh yes, God's recording his book of life. Oh my, it's all written in it. You know, he's not missing anything. And here he noted in verse 9 that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Oh my, how is it that people would rather be deceived rather than to know the truth? Yeah, the truth is going to hit you kind of hard at the first. Oh yes, when you realize your life is not in accord with God's word. But oh my, oh yes, we need to be broken. Otherwise, we're going to be broken on that day when we stand before the Lord. There's not going to be anything left of us. And thank God, oh yes, when we allow the Lord to see our hearts. Oh yes, and to know our ways. And oh yes, oh to talk to us. Oh yes, so that we can get right. But oh yes, this rebellious people that Isaiah is writing of as God is instructing him, as God sees it and considers it, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, or another word for prophets really, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Oh my, that is such a thought. You know, I even have talked to some people that would say, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that's wrong. Don't tell me I can't do that. Don't tell me the Lord's coming. Yeah, rather not know than be warned. Oh, I think we better realize how important it is to be warned. Oh yes, there are many warnings in God's word. And first of all, we do know that there is one, oh, that is out there that seeks to devour us. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Oh yes, as Peter wrote under the inspiration of God, oh, praise the Lord. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Oh yes, he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But yes, we are warned. We've got an enemy, we've got an adversary, and there's a need for us to be sober. There's a need for us to be vigilant, to be watchful. Oh yes, to be concerned, because yes, we have an adversary. Oh, he's called the devil, and oh yes, he's also compared to a roaring lion here in this verse, who's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And by the grace and mercy of God, we've got to resist him. We've got to resist him steadfast in the faith. And yes, it says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh yes, we're all going to be tried. We're all going to be challenged. We all have adversary. Amen. Oh, none excused. So yes, that great need to give heed. Oh yes. Oh yes, to get right. Oh yes, to take note of what the Bible teaches. And not only to take note, but oh yes, to put it in our hearts. And listen, obey, and do it. Amen. Amen. Jesus gave many great warnings as he ministered here on this earth. And there are warnings in Matthew chapter 24. If you turn there to me, turn there with me right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 24. Oh, yes. It just seems like a descriptive word of these end times is deception. So here we are told, going to verse 23 here in Matthew 24, Jesus said, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And you know, when you go into Revelation and you realize the signs of this time, one thing that dawned on me today, and I guess it's been dawning on me for a while, but, you know, one thing that is going to attract the populace of this world as the end time unfolds and the mark of the beast and everything comes forth is, oh yes, that man of deception who goes forth using signs and wonders, oh, to deceive, to cause all that are unaware to go down into the pit, oh yes, to be deceived, oh yes, and therefore not able to stand before God. Oh, it tells us in the 18th chapter of Revelation, going to the end of that chapter, oh, as it describes the downfall of Babylon. Oh yes, I could call it the world system, oh my, that is doomed. Tells us in verse 23, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Oh my, yes, the spirit of deception, which is so pronounced and so very great in this world. Oh, for sure, we don't want to be deceived. It tells us in the 19th chapter of Revelation, going also towards the end here, verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Oh my, yes, the deception of this world. Those that receive the mark of the beast is because of deception. Oh yes, because of the miracles that the false prophet brings forth, oh, that bring forth the deception that will deceive the multitudes. It tells us in Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, yes. All of this reveals, oh yes, what deception will do. And oh yes, the devil is sly. And oh yes, as he comes to try to persuade men to follow him and uses, oh, his cohorts to do so. Oh, the false Christ, the false prophets, all those that are here that come into the world. Oh, and particularly those at the end here. The false beast and the false prophet that are noted in the book of Revelation. Oh, they're going to use signs and wonders to deceive the populace. It's going to be very deceptive. It's not going to be easy if you're not close to the Lord to know what is going on and to realize this is not genuine. This is the spirit of deception. And of course, to deceive means to cause one to believe what is not true, to mislead. And so here we see it. Again, here in Matthew 24, verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Oh my, I think we better be aware. I think we better give heed to God's word. I think we better stay close to the Lord. I think we better be looking up because, oh yes, these are times like no other times You've got AI on the horizon. It's all over the place. And already, I don't think we always know when it's AI and when it's a human being. It goes on here in Matthew 24, verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. They say, behold, he is in the sacred, behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And so he comes, and it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, this moment is coming. And thank God we have warnings here. But oh yes, with the warnings comes all the word of deception. All that knowledge that yes, oh, with all of this, these signs and wonders. Oh yes, that if it were possible would deceive even the very elect. Oh my, I think we better stay close to the Lord. I think we better know the book as best we can. Oh my, I think we better hide it in our hearts, because, oh yes, how else would we know what is right and what is wrong? We don't know God's word. Oh my. And yes, we're told in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, oh yes, when it talks about that wicked that will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Here, the 8th verse of 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. And it says in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. See, there it is again. You can see how it's going to be so deceptive. Oh, the craftiness of the devil as he comes forth to deceive every man and woman, boy and girl, if he possibly can. The working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And here it tells us in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Oh, yes, we need to buy the truth and sell it not. The truth that is recorded in the pages of this book. Oh, yes, that which comes from God Almighty. We need the love of the truth. It must not be ignored. It tells us in verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Oh, what perilous moments these are. And here we are, we're forewarned. Thank the Lord. So, oh my, we can prepare our hearts, we can get right, we can be ready. Amen. Oh, yes. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But I love verse 13 here in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Oh, yes, the Spirit and the truth, how important they are to work together. Oh, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And yes, we need both aspects. Oh, yes, sanctified or made holy by the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, in belief of the truth. Amen. Oh, how important it is. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. And oh, yes, I thank God for people who hunger and thirst after the words of life. Oh, yes. Oh, this word that feeds our souls and tells us how to live, tells us how we can make it through this world. Oh, how we need it. Amen. I thank God for his people. Oh, that he has called out of the darkness into his glorious light. Oh, yes. Oh, that he called and chose, oh, praise the Lord, to be his representatives, his children, his sons, and his daughters. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Most High God, thank the Lord. Oh, yes, we have hope. We have hope in the midst of great darkness and great confusion. All the things that are coming to pass on the face of this earth. Oh, how we need to give heed and get right and serve God now while we still can. Tells us in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 12, another scripture of warning. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Oh, yes, we don't want unbelief to take hold in our minds and cause us delusion and cause us to lose our walk with the Lord. But rather, we're told in verse 13 here in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh my, yes, the Bible, you know, tells us there are pleasures in sin for a season. And, you know, people can, you know, get caught up in that and ignore the Word of God, ignore that which is right, and, oh yes, be drawn into darkness. But, oh yes, we need to warn one another, exhort one another, it says daily. Oh yes, while it is called today, while we still have an opportunity before the door of salvation closes, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Oh, yes, we know, yes, also in Matthew 24, it's for those that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Yes, the 13th verse there in Matthew 24. So, oh, yes, we need to listen. We need to take hold of the Word of God now while it is yet called today. Oh, and yes, oh, we would never want to be hardened in our hearts. It's a terrible thing when a heart gets hard and we no longer are giving ear to the things which are right and good. God allowed Pharaoh's heart to be hardened, so he did not want to allow the children of Israel to go. That was a work of God because, yes, God was going to prove himself in great ways there to the Egyptians. But, oh, yes, we don't want that hardness of heart. Oh, to have an impact on our lives and to cause us, oh, to be deceived, oh, through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, yes, because, yes, we have been made partakers of Christ And then that little word there in that 14th verse, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Yeah, it's not like I ran good, you know, for a week and, you know, now, oh my, I'm just going to do my own thing. God forbid that that would be our thinking. No, we've got to hold that confidence fast, steadfast until the end. We've got to keep on walking the walk. And looking above, oh yes, and listening to the prompting of the Holy Ghost, oh yes, and living above sin and above reproach, amen, by the grace and mercy of our God. Oh yes, our focus on God, amen. Oh yes, because, oh my, one of these days, it is going to be over. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to the Old Testament now, and if you could turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. We'll go to the 12th chapter here first, 1 Kings chapter 12 here. And of course, there certainly were times of deception in old Israel. In fact, it started with Solomon, actually, and most of the kings that followed did not do well. But anyway, we know that after Solomon, his son Rehoboam came upon the throne of Israel, and because he listened to his peers and told. Those that were under him, the old and the young, that he was going to make their yoke heavy, and he was going to chasten them with whips more than his father Solomon had done. You know, he wasn't going to be kind, he wasn't going to be gentle, he wasn't going to make their yoke less heavy as the elders requested. We know that Israel rebelled, and that meant that the 10 northern tribes all went under another king. Only two tribes became part of Judah and Benjamin, that is the southern kingdom. Only two tribes went that direction and continued to be under Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the 10 northern tribes went to this man who came out of Egypt, who had been a servant in earlier times. But God had allowed him to take the 10 northern kingdoms. And so here it is, the 12th chapter of 1 Kings speaks of this. And here it is, as he's taking rule over those 10 northern tribes, it tells us in verse 25 that Jeroboam, built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And it tells us, and Jeroboam said in his heart, and when I see that in his heart, and I think, oh, how Jeremiah wrote, how our heart is deceitful, oh, in all its ways. And then here it is, and here's Jeroboam, he's listening to his heart. And he says, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So there was a fear that compelled Jeroboam to think this way. And, he got thinking, oh, wow, if the people go to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem during the feast times, and oh, yes, to gain atonement for sin and all that, it's really likely that they won't like me so much, and they'll go back to Rehoboam. And, you know, they'll go back to Judah and, you know, they'll kill me. So it tells us in verse 28, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. So here it is, you know, and oh my, it tells that he took counsel, so he's not going to God to consult God. God, what is your mind in this matter? But he's going to the people, and they advised him to make two calves of gold and just tell the people, hey, you know, you can't be expected to go to Jerusalem to worship. No, instead, here are thy gods. You know, these are the gods that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Oh my, that sounds like, you know, earlier when Moses was up on the mountain, Aaron led the people to make calves there, that he also said that was the God that had led them out of Egypt. Oh my, so things are repeating again here, I would say. Oh my, so anyway, yes, he makes one, he sets it in Bethel, which is the southernmost point there in Israel, and then he puts one in Dan, which is the most northern point. And he tells the people, yeah, these are your gods. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. You could just go, you know, to Dan, or you could go to Bethel and worship now. And it tells us in verse 30, and this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. You see, one thing is leading to another. And then, oh yes, he ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. And it tells us, so he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Oh my. Sounds like trouble to me. Oh, he listened to his own heart. He listened to his peers or whoever else advised him. And oh yes, he came up with this plan, thinking that this would keep the people subordinate to him rather than going to Jerusalem where they could fall in line with Rehoboam. Oh my, how deceptive the heart is. And so it was. In the midst of all of this, we come to the 13th chapter of 1 Kings. And here is a very interesting story. God always has his people, and God will warn. And thank God for it. You know, God does not judge without warning, I feel. And so here it is. Here comes a man of God out of Judah. And his name isn't even given us here as we read what happens here in this 13th chapter. But oh yes, he's going to be used of God. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And here he, being this man of God, cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it tells us in verse 4, here's Jeroboam the king. Oh, he's standing right there. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And God judged that. It says, and his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it in again to him. God instantly judged Jeroboam. You know, he's ordering his men to take hold of the man of God. But oh my, he puts his hand out and oh yes, he can't pull it back in. Oh yes, because God is in control, yes. And besides, it tells us in verse 5, the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And oh my, all at once, you know, Jeroboam is in trouble. Oh my, the sign, the altar is rent, it's torn, it's in pieces, and the ashes are poured out from that altar just as the man of God had said. And there is his hand. He can't move it back in. Oh my. So the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored again and became as it was before. Well, God heard his prayer and had mercy even on Jeroboam, so that he could now move his arm back again as formerly. And so the king, you know, he's in a different mood now, and you know, so he's gonna, you know, kind of show some hospitality to the man of God, it seems, verse 7. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So God had also instructed this man of God that, oh yes, he was not to eat bread or drink water, oh yes, while he was on the way, and he was to go back a different way than the way he came. So it is. He has said that, and he's refused to go home with Jeroboam and be refreshed. So he went another way, verse 10, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now the story, how it grows here, some intrigue here. It tells us in verse 11, now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the works which he had spoken unto the king, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he, this old prophet, he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass, or ass being a donkey. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And the man replied and said, I am. And so here it is, this old prophet, and he's going to, I guess, try the man of God to see how deeply he means his words. So it tells us here in verse 15, then he, the old prophet, said unto the man of God, him, come home with me and eat bread. Oh my, sounds like the beguiling of the devil to me. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And then the old prophet, Omar, he lies deliberately. He said unto him in verse 18, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And the angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Oh, how we need to be careful whom we trust. Oh, we need to be careful who we listen to. You know, oh my, we know that there are those that will try to ensnare us, and oh my, confuse us, and obviously deceive us. And here it is, whatever got into the old prophet to compel him to do this, I don't know for sure, but oh my, he was being deceivious, and oh my, he was causing quite a bit of confusion and deliberately lying. Oh my, oh my. And so, yes, that is what he spoke. And you know, the man of God who had done so honorably, so bravely spoken out against the altar there in such a way, oh my, that Jeroboam was ready to kill him, or have him killed, I would say. Yet here he falls for the trap. Oh my, because this man is also stating that he too is a prophet, and just deliberately lying to see if the man of God would go for it. And he did. He did. It is so sad. In verse 19, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. He was deceived. He allowed deception to confuse him and to ensnare him and take him in the trap. Oh my, God had already instructed him clearly. But oh my, he gave in to the confusion and the words of the prophet that was lying and deliberately trying to cause confusion. Oh my, how utterly nasty this is. So it tells us, and it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place, or in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Oh, everybody saw it. What a witness. Here it is, a man. He's been slain. He's dead. But there's his donkey standing right there, and there's the lion. And you know, it's all standing there, you know, or laying there, whatever. And you know, that isn't normal. And then they saw, yes, the dead body, and oh, yes, they're talking about it. They go into the city, and oh, yes, go into the city where the old prophet dwelt. It tells us in verse 26, And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. Can you imagine that? They're just standing there all this time, just looking, and oh my, it's not a normal event by any means. But oh yes, how God directs everything, how he sees everything. Oh, God is in charge. Oh, yes, regardless of what men may think and do. It tells us in verse 29, and the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones, for the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. Oh, praise the Lord, God's word will come to pass. And oh yes, that man of God was highly anointed. Oh yes, he had been given this mission to go and to fulfill. Oh, would have been well if he would have just kept to what God had told him. And he had not gone back with the old prophet and sat at his table and ate and drank. All would have been well. But you see, he allowed deception to enter in. And oh yes, this story to me helps me to realize how tricky it can be at times. How easy it can be for us to just, you know, think differently when something deliberately tries to cause us to be deceived. And oh my, I don't know why in the world this old prophet was instigated to do this. But oh yes, we all go through times of being proven. And oh yes, we know that there are tests, there are trials in this world. And oh yes, as things develop, as the end comes closer and closer, we realize that the spirit of deception is also greater and greater and greater. And as we read in Matthew 24, you know, oh my, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Oh, in this time when signs and wonders come to pass by the hand of deceit. Oh, through the hand of the workers of iniquity, the beast and the false prophet. Oh, those that come upon the face of this earth. Oh, yes, anointed by the devil to fulfill the devil's whims, or to attempt, shall I say, the devil's whims, because it will not be fulfilled according to the devil's thinking. No, they'll all be taken in the snare. Oh my, and yes, they will all be judged. They will all be put into the lake of fire. But God's word is true. And oh yes, just that which the man of God declared there, the man of God who came from Judah, it came to pass. And we can read of it in 2 Kings chapter 23. Yes, even Josiah was named as the king that would come. And oh yes, with the zeal of the Lord after, oh yes, he realized that they had not been following the words of God when Hilkiah, the high priest, bound the book. Oh yes, in the house of the Lord when they were cleaning. Oh yes, how it changed things. And oh yes, Josiah realized, oh, there was a great need, oh, to get rid of all the abominations, oh, to get rid of all the idolatrous things, all the idolatrous priests, oh, yes, everything, oh, yes, that was given over to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, to the host of heaven, the groves that were up there, oh, yes, to honor the heathen gods, oh, yes, all of that. And even, oh yes, the things that were in the house of the Lord, that, oh yes, vessels that had been made for Baal and for the grove and for the host of heavens, all that needed to be burned, oh yes, and destroyed. Even houses that were built for sodomites, oh my, oh women who wove hangings for the grove, oh my, all these things that had deceived the people that they had allowed to enter in. All the horrendous things, oh yes. There was even the valley of the children of Hinnom, oh yes. Topheth, oh my, where they had offered their sons or their daughters to pass through the fire, Samolak. Oh yes, Josiah with the zeal of God came, oh yes. Oh, to get rid of everything, oh, that was in opposition to God, in abomination to God. Oh, the altars that had been built by former kings, that which Ahaz had done, that which Manasseh had done. Oh, yes, he took them. He beat them down. Oh, yes, he cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron there. And oh, yes, all the high places. And even the places that Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile all these things, oh, where Solomon had gone astray. And there it was, he broke the images, he cast down the groves. Oh, yes, oh, all those that were filled with the bones of men. And that altar that was at Bethel that Jeroboam had put up, oh, my, no, that altar in that high place was broken down. It was burned. It was stamped, oh, to powder and burned. Oh, yes, the grove, too, that, oh, yes, they had worshipped at. And then Josiah turned himself to where the sepulchers were. It tells us in verse 16 here in this 23rd chapter of 2 Kings. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words, which we read there in 1 Kings chapter 13. And then in verse 17, he asks, then he said, what title is that that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And Josiah said, he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses, also the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. Oh my, God's word came true, just exactly as a man of God had proclaimed there at Bethel, there before Jeroboam, king of Israel. Oh my, our God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And oh yes, we too need to give heed. Because yes, as I already have said, these are deceptive times. The spirit of deception, oh, of a man of God who had done so nobly, so honorably, spoken so truthfully, could be deceived. by another so-called prophet of God. I think, too, we need to consider that we could, too, be vulnerable in such a time as this. Oh, my, how important it is to give heed to that which is written. Oh, yes, oh, to allow nothing to come in between what God's word has declared. So much of God's word has been diminished in this time period. It seems that so much people don't even know. And then you have all the other translations that take God's word and lessen it or say something else and are grossly inaccurate. So here we are in such a time as this when, oh my, it's very easy to be deceived. And so many people are deceived. Even Serena's friend, oh my, who, you know, thought because she believed in God that, you know, she could do what she wanted to do, obviously, and be a lesbian. Oh my, no, we better listen to what God's word declares. Oh, it tells us here, going to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Oh, yes, we are warned here. It says in verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Oh, just clear language here. An extortioner being one that would use force to gain benefits, to gain money, and so on. Oh my, and oh God, one that reviles is one that verbally uses abusive language towards someone. But oh yes, here's that list. And oh yes, the warning, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And oh yes, verse 11 reads, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we never want to allow deception to enter in. Even as these times advance, and oh, we're seeing the things that we're seeing. God only knows what is ahead. But oh yes, so many times we are warned, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Oh yes, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Oh yes, we want to give heed to these words of life. They will keep us on the straight and narrow. Oh, yes. Oh, the Lord is able. He knows them that are his. And oh, yes. He has also said, "Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Oh, yes, it is time. And the heart must be made right with God. It is a time that we need to look clearly into the Word of God and read it for what it says and give heed. Because, oh yes, they are words of life. It is a time when we need to know that, oh yes, if we haven't listened, if we haven't given heed, then, oh yes, there's a trap that we can so easily fall into. That trap, oh yes, that we would not have the love of the truth in our heart and be given over because we haven't regarded God's word as needed and given over then to the spirit of deception. Oh God, help us. I am so thankful that we have these words of life and that we can give heed at such a time as this. But oh yes, the important thing is we don't want to give ear to that which is not of God.
Amen.
Even though there be signs and wonders, oh, that could be a trap and be a snare and even deceive the very elect if it were possible. Well, by God's grace and mercy, we will not fall for such, but rather we will hide God's word in our heart. Oh, we will give heed. Oh, yes. We will listen while we can. Oh, praise the Lord. And know, oh, God is not mocked. And we must not give ear to deception. We must not be deceived by man's doings or any other writing. By the grace and the mercy of God, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, that man of God that came before Jeroboam, to prophesy. Oh, it was so noble. He was so bold. He was so right on. But oh my, we can see how easily we can fall into the spirit of deception. But by God's grace and mercy, we will not fall for it. Oh yes, holding on to God in his word. Amen. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I ask, Lord, that, oh God, you'd give each and every one of us that deepness of heart and, oh God, that willingness, oh God, to stand fast, oh God, to listen, oh God, oh God, oh Lord, it's only you who could keep us on the straight and narrow. Oh God, help our hearts not to bend. Oh God, help our hearts not to be deceived. Help us not to listen to a voice, oh Lord, that would allure us and distract and hinder and cause deception. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, give us, oh Lord, that ability to rightly discern and to know, oh God, and to stand fast, oh Lord, even in these very deceptive times, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we're going to open our course book to number 78 and sing Keep On Walking by Faith. Number 78. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise God.
Thank you. Amen.